Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into a FTSE 250 investment trust. The trust that we're going to be discussing today is the Next Energy Solar Fund, which trades under the ticker of NESF. And to do the introductions to the fund and provide a solid overview of the trust and their investments, we're very kindly joined today by Ross Greer, who is the COO and head of UK investments at Next Energy Capital, who is the manager of the Next Energy Solar Fund. Ross, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks very much for having me.
So, Ross, we're going to be discussing a bit later on in the podcast the opportunities in the market. We're going to be looking at the trust and where it's trading at the moment and the opportunity for investors in the trust. Yeah. But we're going to start from the beginning and we'll provide a good overview of the trust, where it invests, the investment approach. So, would you be able to start with a brief introduction, first of all, to yourself, please, Ross, as well as the Next Energy Solar Fund, please?
Yeah, very, very happy to, and always really happy to talk about the Next Energy Solar Fund. It's the jewel in the crown of the funds that we manage across the globe, and it's particularly interesting at the moment, as we'll touch on later, in terms of incoming investors and also existing investors topping up their current holding in the structure. I'm Ross Greer, as you've said. I'm Chief Operating Officer and Head of UK Investments for Next Energy Capital. Next Energy is a solar-focused investment manager. We look after a little bit under $4 billion worth of capital spread across both publicly listed, like the Next Energy Solar Fund, and also private funds, which we invest predominantly into solar PV, as I've said, across the globe. And I'll focus in on what we mean by predominantly into solar in due course. But we're a mission-driven organization that set about to transition the world to a more sustainable future through the adoption of renewable energy. So everything we focus on is very ESG compliant, very focused on driving that transition towards net zero through infrastructure. So funds like the Next Energy Solar Fund were designed to hold those physical infrastructure assets. So what you see us do through this vehicle is not only develop, own and operate, but also sweat these assets particularly hard over the long term. So the Next Energy Solar Fund is an evergreen facility, which means we will be looking after these assets for their operational lifetime, which is, you know, beyond 40 to 50 years. So we're always very focused on bringing the very best solar assets into the portfolio and then operating them for the best return that we can give to investors over that long term.
In terms of the assets, I think it would be good if you'd be able to provide a little bit more detail about the types of solar assets within the portfolio and where they are located. So understanding that they are predominantly based in the UK, but it'd be good to get an idea of where else they are around the world. And also the types of solar assets, because, of course, you know, there's different stages throughout the supply chain in solar. So it would be good to get an idea of where you're involved within that supply chain as well, please.
Yeah, sure. I think scale is important as well. So we currently have a gross asset value of around 1.2 billion and a net asset value of around 640 million. That means we've deployed a material amount of capital into that net zero transition that we've spoken about. So within the portfolio of NESF, we have 100 operational assets. Those are split 92 in the UK and 8 in Italy. We also have a holding in one of our private funds, which we call Next Power 3 ESG, which invests throughout the world. So we've got $50 million invested into that fund. That gives us really nice geographic diversification across multiple different jurisdictions. And we also, as part of that investment, also have co-invested in both Spain and also in Portugal as well, directly into some assets. But the very vast majority of what we have in this platform is focused on the UK. And this platform has been around since 2014. So we've had 10 years of operating the vehicle, and we have various different vintages of asset in the platform itself. So we have some of the very earliest feed-in tariff and ROC, so government subsidized solar in there, which is particularly interesting because it provides long-term inflation-linked revenues. And then we also have the very latest technology in these funds as well. So we have some very new solar, which is going in the ground, which we call post-subsidy solar. And that's not reliant on any government subsidy to realize it, but does benefit from either long-term corporate power purchase agreement, so selling power directly to a corporate, or it can benefit from a contract for difference, which is a government revenue stabilization mechanism, or ultimately we can be trading the power from those assets in the market as well. So we really are at all aspects of the market's evolution in adopting renewable energy. When we listed this fund originally, the market looked very different. So you know, we were right at the start of how we were going to justify that solar had a really important part to play in that net zero journey in the decarbonisation of our grid. As a group at Next Energy, we've now built around 14% of the UK's ground-mounted solar PV. So we've had a material impact on that net zero journey in a relatively short period of time in over the last decade. And why I particularly like NESF is it's been this type of a vehicle. So you know, the listed fund structure has been vital in directing capital flows into this type of an asset class. So it's been a really important part of how we start to really mobilize towards that net zero future we are all shooting for. And it will have that impact in the future as well. So we're far from, you know, the end of the story for listed funds. We're right at the beginning of this energy transition. We see lots of opportunities to continue to grow an exciting future for this platform over the coming decades and as we move towards net zero.
So there's one point that I'd just like to pick up on there, Ross, and it is, you mentioned that some of the portfolio is allocated to assets that you operate yourselves. Some are co-investments, some are funds. And I think for listeners that want to get a good idea of the trust and how it's structured, I would ask how that portfolio is broken down between those ones that you own and operate yourselves. You obviously have the fund that you mentioned there and the co-investments. What does that look like in terms of the different structures, ownership structures that you have across the portfolio?
So the fund itself really does directly own the very vast majority of the assets that we are talking about. So only three structures exist in the fund itself. The first is direct ownership, and that is all of the solar that is brought into the funding vehicle. So those 100 operational assets that I spoke about earlier in this session. We have $50 million commitment to this international fund. That's particularly interesting because it gives us that diversification, but it also allows us to be part of that particular fund's evolution as well, and also presents potential upside as that fund, which has a shorter life of only 10 years, moves to exit. There should be upside for that investment for the Next Energy Solar Fund as well. We also have a joint venture in place with a company called Eor Power. What we've started to do over recent years is really build the forward momentum around how we're going to grow the Next Energy Solar Fund over the coming years. We obviously intend to continue to bring forward solar assets in the UK and internationally as well as the opportunity arises. And we have a really healthy pipeline of UK-based solar assets to bring forward as a business. But we also realize the importance of bringing online battery storage as part of bringing stability to the grid and in starting to manage power more flexibly in line with the needs of the energy ecosystem that we now operate in and will operate in the future. So in order to de-risk the entry into battery storage, we signed a joint venture with Eor Power, who are a leading player in the battery storage market, and we committed £300 million to this joint venture in order to to enter the utility scale battery storage market in a very meaningful way for the fund, but also de-risk it as much as possible alongside that existing robust solar portfolio that we have in place. First asset there is set to come online in the first quarter of this year, so we're super excited about that. And that will be the first of a suite of battery storage opportunities that we bring forward for the fund over the coming decade. We currently have a 10% of GAV limitation in our mandate for energy storage, but we're in consultation at the moment with investors around increasing that to 25%. So over time, we have the flexibility to realize batteries that are co-located alongside existing solar assets, but also new standalone battery storage as part of that grid evolution piece that we've just talked to.
You mentioned the battery storage side of things there. Naturally, going on to the next point here, Ross, and I think this is something investors will be particularly interested in, and it's drilling down into individual assets within the fund. So it would be good if you could give some examples of some of the facilities that you have maybe here in the UK, how long you've held on to them for, what their output is, maybe what their plans are for the future.
Sure. So I think there's probably three that I'll highlight in this section. Firstly, I want to look to some of the older assets that we've got. You know, speaking to the fact that these listed funds have been really important, NESF has been really important in really driving towards that net zero future. An asset like Langenhove, which is based in Essex, is 21 megawatts, was energized back in 2015. I particularly love this asset because it was at the very forefront of deployment at the time. So very best technology, designed in the best way, nicely integrated with the landscape. We've then taken that on board. We've extended its operational life through extending lease and planning. So we've driven increase in the net asset value of it through those measures that we've implemented. And we've also used it as an exemplar in our biodiversity scheme as well. So solar is a fantastic steward of the landscape in which it operates. So we take land out of the intensive agricultural cycle, we're able to fence that off and control traffic for a really long period of time. We as a business saw there was plenty of opportunity to do more than just generate green energy, but also to graze the asset to ensure it stays in that food production cycle, but also to deliver additional exemplar biodiversity measures that would allow us to foster and protect biodiversity when in the wider society we're struggling to do that, and then to also enhance ecosystem services for the society that surrounds our assets as well. So it's been a particularly great asset from our perspective in terms of its ongoing reliability and generation, but also because we've been able to realise those industry-leading measures on behalf of the fund. That nexus between renewable energy and nature becomes increasingly important as we continue to evolve the fund, and we've been very proud to drive that agenda for not only the Next Energy Solar Fund, but also the industry, and we really have led the pathway there. We have our we publish on an annual basis a standalone report which talks about all of our ESG perspective as a group. We call it our sustainability report. It focuses in on some of those case studies that show just how we've managed to drive the market forward, particularly around things like biodiversity. Second asset I'd mention is probably Staunton, which is a 50 megawatt asset which we energized in 2018. That again was at the forefront of the market at the time. So we were at that point moving away from government subsidy into a market that had no longer any support from government in terms of its revenue stabilization methodology. And at 50 megawatts, it was the first and the largest of its scale to be constructed on a post-subsidy basis. So NESF right at the forefront of how markets have continued to evolve after the end of government subsidy. Finally, I'd call out our Camilla battery storage asset that I mentioned a little bit earlier in the call as well. Particularly exciting for us, it's a 50 megawatt, currently 1 hour duration battery, which is being prepared for augmentation to 2 hours in duration. That for us is the first really strategic step into large scale battery storage. and represents an important evolution in this platform and also as part of the evolution of the markets in which we operate in. So we've got a really nice spectrum of different types of assets, different types of age profile. From our perspective, we've always been really focused on driving quality and the right assets in the right location. From our perspective, that gives us better revenue generating opportunities and therefore long-term opportunity to continue to cash service the attractive dividend that this platform offers. And we've ran a greater than 8 to 9% yield for, you know, since the inception of this fund, and we continue to drive forward very aggressive dividend targets for the fund into the future.
Thank you very much. So just before we move on and look at the macro picture and look at the opportunity in NESF shares, there's one final question that I have here based on what you've said. And I think this will provide some good insight into your thinking going into the future. Of course, at the moment, the majority of the assets are in the UK, but you have been making investments outside. What does that look like, Ross, in terms of the future going forward? Are you going to remain UK focused? Are you going to be looking more heavily overseas? How do you see the evolution of the fund going on a geographical basis in terms of where your assets are?
So the core of this fund will always remain UK focused. Our investors really were looking to make an impactful investment in the UK market, so a UK pound in a UK asset. So that's why the vast focus is in that particular market. However, in order to de-risk, it's important that we continue to look at how markets evolve. And one of the reasons for looking internationally is to bring about that international market diversification. So obviously, you know, from a geopolitical perspective and also from an energy market perspective, we bring that diversification into the platform as well. So it's a small proportion of what we do, and we will continue to drive capital into the UK market. But we are very thoughtful about how we continue to drive that diversification in the future. So as I've said already, the pipeline from our perspective encompasses UK and international assets as well as battery storage. We've got in excess of £500 million worth of pipeline over the coming years of opportunity for us to deploy into, split across those various different buckets. And what we're always aiming to do is consider, you know, total return from our investors' perspective. So we're really looking at how we can bring the right accretive asset forward at the right time. So we're very disciplined in the way in which we think about the allocation of capital in our funds, and really the governance that we bring is one of the outstanding things that funds like Next Energy Solar Fund have within them. So we have not only the Next Energy manager itself, but we have an independent board that look at the operations of the fund itself. And between us, we're really trying to focus on how we can continue to service that dividend, how we continue to drive NAV growth over the long term for the platform in NESF.
Thank you. And we're going to be discussing the dividend a little bit later on in the podcast. But we're going to now look at the macro picture, Ross, if we may, and the relationship to the valuation of the fund, because you're preparing for this podcast, looking at the share price of NSEF over the past month or so, there's been quite a strong rally in the shares. The discount has narrowed, and regular listeners to the UK Investor Magazine podcast will be aware one of the big themes last year for investment trusts, particularly in the infrastructure space, were particularly historically wide discounts. Yeah. That started to narrow. So it'd be good to get your view, Ross, and this is very much starting from a top-down perspective, maybe looking at the entire sector, not just the particular fund here. Do you feel that we're now at a point that we're going to start to see discounts narrow further from this point in time? You know, the factors that were at play that caused those discounts in the first place, are we past the worst there? And it would be good if you could speak about the opportunity that you see in the discount at the moment for the fund.
Yeah, absolutely. I think let's start with the discount itself. So, you know, speaking on behalf of the Next Energy Solar Fund, there is nothing within the fundamentals of the platform that could justify the discount. So the way in which funds like the Next Energy Solar Fund drive their valuation is through discounted cash flow models that look at all of the fundamentals of each of the projects and then derive a value based on a discount rate, which we apply to those various cash flows which we're expecting. Those models are super robust, right? I mean, we've spent a decade optimizing them. They are audited to death, as you would imagine. And our assumption set, we are extremely transparent about. So from my perspective, the NAV is a really good proxy for what we believe this fund is worth. It's why we spend so much time and effort generating a NAV. So there is no reason in my mind as to why we should be running a discount to the net asset value. And I think that is a sentiment that is held pretty broadly across the sector. And we've seen that discount applicable not only to renewables, but also to the whole infrastructure space as well. So everyone across the real estate sector and wider infrastructure has experienced the same challenges over the last 12 months. What we've been doing in this period is being very thoughtful about how we continue to manage the platform. So we've been running several strategic initiatives, one of which is to recycle capital. So we're selling a small portfolio of assets into the market. And what that's going to do is allow us some proceeds to downpay a small proportion of our debt, which we call our revolving credit facility, which is not fully interest rate hedged. So in this higher interest rate environment, that from our perspective is the right thing to do for investors in terms of preparing the fund for its continued growth journey. What we've seen, of course, over recent months, as you've said, is a really encouraging rally as we start to see interest rates soften. So hopefully we've achieved the peak of interest rate. I think sentiment is strong, is good for 2024. The balance of that discount is really driven by that ongoing sentiment and an ongoing belief that these funds are particularly well managed and have the ability to continue to grow, continue to service their dividend on a rolling basis. So market sentiment going the right way. I think it will be a steady creep through 2024 rather than a very fast correction. But at least the direction of travel is the right, positive direction there. And as I've said, the fundamentals are super robust in this platform. So we have really good visibility of how we're generating cash, how we're running the assets, and how robust those underlying assets are. So the future looks really bright in terms of us providing the right outcomes for our investor base. And that should give confidence that the NAV is in the right place and that discount should narrow over time and then allow us to continue that growth journey into the future. The discount is we've run this thing, as I've said, for a decade. It's the first time we've experienced such a wide discount to NAV across the sector, and it does represent a really attractive entry point for investors and to top up existing portfolios. And we do expect to achieve NAV in due course as we continue these strategic measures and as the market continues to evolve. So, the time is absolutely right to consider the NextEnergy Solar Fund as part of your portfolio, especially when you consider it pays an 8.35 pence dividend at the moment, with exceptionally strong dividend yield. It's always been cash covered. We're forecasting around 1.3 times cash coverage of dividend for the year ending March 2024, and we have ongoing good visibility, as I've said, of those revenues for the future as well. So I think it's an extremely attractive play in today's market for sure.
Thank you very much. There's a few points that I just want to pick up there from what you've said, and I mean, I don't really want to oversimplify this, but just looking at the discount rates that you applied to NAV and how that's impacted things over the last year or so. Is it as simple that as we move through 2024 and we see interest rates fall further, that will naturally lift your portfolio's NAV, and then hopefully we see that discount be alleviated as we go through the year?
So the short answer is yes, we believe that is the direction of travel. It's not quite as straightforward. So interest rate and discount rates don't move on a one-for-one basis. There are tensions in the market that mean there is not a kind of one-for-one relationship between that interest rate rise and the discount rate, and then vice versa. So as interest rates drop, you won't necessarily see a direct correlation with a step down in discount rates. It's really also driven by what's going on in the market. You know, so how attractive are these assets from inbound investment activity, which, you know, they remain attractive. So I think it will be a kind of positive evolution through 2024 as we see interest rates continuing to go down the way, but also, you know, not just the current inflation prints and expected interest rates, but also that forward sentiment is super important in how that discount is being thought of in the markets, in my view as well. So it is a combination of all of those measures, but important that we will hopefully see, you know, continued pressure down the way in terms of interest rates, and that will evolve discount rates down the way in due course.
Thank you. And this is more about your personal view, Ross, really, because we've had many managers on over the past 6 or 12 months that have been discussing the discount in infrastructure assets. So, I mean, very, very straightforward question. Have you personally ever seen a bigger opportunity in the discounts between the share price and the NAV in this area of the market in your career?
I haven't, and I do think it presents an extremely attractive opportunity to really think about, you know, portfolios like this. I think what we've been doing a lot of is helping people understand just how robust these platforms are. So we've got a really carefully curated set of assets. We are the, you know, in our view, the leading manager for this type of asset. We have 300 individuals across our group who know absolutely everything there is to know about each aspect of this particular type of asset that we focus in on, solar. And therefore, we believe that that discount is completely unjustified, and there are no market drivers in our view that are leading to that. So I think, you know, from my personal perspective, absolutely, it's a very unique opportunity and one that we don't think will be around for a particularly long period of time.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ross. So just one final point. You did mention earlier on the dividend. So I just want to pick up on that. So I believe it's been increased very recently. So it's going to be paying 8.35p for the 2024 full year. What does this look like in terms of the dividend policy going forward? You know, what are your ambitions for the dividend? Is it a policy that you have that you see dividends increasing? Is it linked to anything within the portfolio? It'd be good to give investors an idea of how this dividend is going to evolve over time.
Cool. So we have a progressive dividend policy at the Next Energy Solar Fund. The dividend or the decision to increase the dividend is actually the gift of that independent board that I mentioned earlier. So I can't predetermine the ongoing conversations about where we go from here. What I can talk about is where we've been in the past. And year on year, we have increased the dividend target in line or in excess of inflation. The target for through to 31st of March 2024 was 8.35 pence, as you've mentioned. That was actually an 11% year-on-year increase. So you know, you can see if you track through the years back through inception, we've always been cash covered and we've always increased it in line with or in excess of RPI. So, you know, Next Energy Solar Fund is a particularly strong dividend player, especially if you look amongst its peer group. So in the other 9, 10 or so listed funds that also focus on renewables, NESF is the leading payer of dividend as well. So I think from our perspective, we see that as particularly attractive in investors' portfolio. And with that type of dividend yield as well, you know, that size of dividend yield, it's particularly attractive in today's market as well.
That's great, Ross. Thank you very much. Just a note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast, because there will be a link through to the Next Energy website where you'll be able to go in there and find some information, obviously get the recent fact sheets and reports to do your own research, as well as they'll be launching soon their own page on the UK Investor Magazine website. So do check out the notes to this podcast and you'll be able to find further information and obviously get information direct from the fund. So Ross, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.